Hey, welcome to a Stonewall's Perspective podcast. In this podcast, Alex gives his perspective on what is going on in the world. It is his mission to bring the light of the gospel into every aspect of life. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to the Alex Stone Show. I'm your host, Alex Stone. I'm on a mission to spread the light of the gospel into every aspect of life. And yes, I did say every, including the things that most Christians do not like to discuss, such as politics. Guys, I have a very special treat for you all today. We are at Missouri State University, and I have someone who is just really on fire for politics and on fire to see a move of conservative ideology in this country in the 21st century. She is the president of the Turning Point chapter here at Missouri State University, and she also has her own radio show here in Missouri. Please welcome my friend, Matea Miller. Matea, how are you today?
Hey guys, I'm good. How are you, Alex?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on my show. I came all the way out here because I want to be with you in person for this because I think you're phenomenal. You're very smart. You're good at what you do. I want to talk to you today about conservative ideology, especially on a college campus. But before we do that, could you tell my audience a little bit about who you are, your upbringing, and what got you to where you are today?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of a long story, and every time I tell it, it's a little bit different because there are a lot of different things that kind of came together to bring me where I am. But I was raised in a Christian conservative home, not overtly political, I would say. We didn't have a lot of conversation about politics at the dinner table, but the values were always present. So it was kind of a natural segue for me. I think speech and debate is probably the main thing that really kicked off my love of politics, because I think that real politics always comes down to just a genuine expression and exchange of ideas, which is sadly being lost in our culture today. So that really got me excited about the philosophical side of politics, I would say. And then Trump's run is actually what got me excited about politics itself, I think. So that was when I first started paying attention to American news specifically. I joined Turning Point my freshman year at MSU, won my election halfway through my freshman semester, and here I am. So
was it President Trump's first run or his second run?
His first run, yeah. I started paying attention in 2016, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it was the peak of his campaign right before the election. Now, so things were crazy.
I love that because I feel as if that's what happened for many people, that President Trump ran. He began to talk about things that most politicians weren't talking about at the time.
Yeah.
The fact that there is corruption, not just in other countries, but also in our own country, people like Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and not just the people on the Democrat side, but also on the Republican side are also corrupt. And I think it woke a lot of people up. It woke me up. I was only 13 or 14 at the time, but I realized, oh my goodness, there's something deeper going on than just Republican versus Democrat. It's so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
When he ran, what was it like for you looking at his campaign, looking at the things that he was saying? How did you figure out that President Trump was, the person for the job of President of the United States?
Yeah, it was a little bit, again, of a long story for me, because at first I wasn't really sure about him. Nobody was. I think that's what caught the whole nation's attention so fast. But he obviously stood out from all of the other candidates from day one. I mean, the minute he came down the escalator. So he piqued my interest at first. And I think watching him interact on stage was refreshing in a way that I didn't expect it to be. Because like you said, he wasn't a politician. He was just a regular guy. He brought a lot of passion to the stage, and I really found his personality charming and hilarious, which most people did not. I guess it takes a special kind of person, but no, I really admire him for the fact that he's not a politician, that he sticks up for the little guy, and that he's not afraid to say what he actually thinks. And I think there's something very specific about his presidency for the time that we're at as a country right now. Not necessarily that he would always be my number one pick, just because I really value people being outside of politics, because kind of a populist. I think that the real power lies with the people. But I think we need him now. So he's kind of a for such a time as this leader.
You're exactly right. And I agree with that wholeheartedly for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's echoed in the book of Ruth. You know, you are made for such a time as this. And I know that many people believe that President Trump is made for this time. And I believe that with my whole heart. You know, we've had no other president except for maybe Ronald Reagan and maybe Abraham Lincoln. That is the way that President Donald J. Trump is, that he is not just one of the greatest presidents of all time, but he's also one of the most substantial presidents that we've had. He's made promises and he's kept those promises. And many people will like to, you know, go to different things like Obamacare and say, well, he didn't get Obamacare repealed and replaced. Well, if you look at the facts, we can understand that the reason why that did not occur is because John McCain hated him so much and decided, oh, well, we're going to stay with Obamacare. And that is exactly the type of thing that has been happening, not just in President Trump's administration, but for so many years that people decide, oh, I don't like this person or I don't like this thing. So I'm just going to, you know, keep our whole country at this area with the status quo. Yeah. And one of the things that I love about President Trump is he is against the status quo. That's why he ran.
Yeah.
Okay. And people loved him before he ran, and then he went against them, and now they don't like him.
Right. For me, it's the spirit of the underdog that he's got that I love so much because he just never stops fighting. Yeah. I mean, how many times was he indicted again?
91.
Yeah, 91. I love that you know that. It was wild. And he never quit. And even when the entire media was against him, even when conservatives went against him, I mean, he doesn't quit. And I think that that is America at its finest. So that's what we need right now.
You're exactly right. It is America at its finest. And, you know, from the beginning of our country, we were the underdog. And President Trump was the underdog.
You can't beat that American spirit.
No,
I don't think.
Not any way, shape or form, unless you steal it.
Right. Some people are trying.
But I believe that President Trump is going to go back into the Oval Office and he's going to make a lot of wrongs right again. And I believe that with my whole heart. I want to take a shift away from President Donald J. Trump, and I want to talk about, you know, conservative ideology as a whole. You know, you go to a pretty big college, and I was looking at statistics before this interview, and according to the website that I looked at, that Missouri State University is 34% liberal, 3% super liberal, 16% conservative, and then the rest is undecided. You know, what is it your take on that? And what is it like for you as someone who's conservative and the president of a Turning Point USA chapter on a majority liberal campus?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that statistic overall, because what I experience most when it comes to different classes and groups of kids on campus is apathy more than anything else. Kids who are just so disenchanted with the political landscape, which how can you blame them, right? So I think that being the majority percentage makes sense. For the most part, the experience has been what you expect it to be for a town like Springfield that's mostly red or at the very least pretty purple. I wouldn't say it's anything violent or abusive like you've seen on some other campuses. What university was it where the kids shattered the glass door when Charlie came to speak? I think it was somewhere in Arizona. It was wild. So we don't have things like that happen here. But it's always implied. If it's not outright attacks, I would say it's undertones. So I'm in student government as well. And it's kind of clear that everybody kind of knows who I am and what I'm about. And it's not super popular. But I haven't faced anything head on, I would say, as far as anything too crazy
goes. Do you expect that to happen at some point?
I would be interested to see if it did. I think a lot of it depends on what happens in 2024, especially with the governor race. I actually think that'll have a lot to do with it too here in Missouri. So I wish I could give you a better answer, but things are just kind of up in the air for Springfield, I feel like right now, because a lot of people think it's super red here in this area, who think Missouri's super red.
Right.
But in reality, I feel like we're slowly losing our grip in a lot of ways. And unfortunately, I feel like a lot of that goes back to Springfield. You'd think it would be big cities like St. Louis or Kansas City, but I feel like politics in Missouri, at least, always kind of come back to Springfield. So I'll be really interested to see
Why do you think it is that way with Springfield in particular?
I'm not really sure. I think part of it has to do with a lot of the local politicians who are big in Missouri are from the Ozarks, like from this area, whether it's Ozark or Springfield. So this is kind of their home. I feel like there's also a pretty strong base here in Springfield for the conservative party, for the Republican Party and conservatives. And with Missouri being a red state and under Republican leadership, Springfield was kind of the stronghold. We also have several old money names here, like business-wise, that you'd expect to find in bigger cities, but that are kind of undercover here in Springfield, I would say. So
I love the fact that you know that just off the top of your head. You have a radio show. Talk mm-hmm. about that. You know, how did you how did you get being a radio show host as a sophomore in college?
It was wild. Definitely a God thing for sure. It had been something that I prayed about for a while because I'm only 20. I don't know what I'm doing. Just kind of figuring things out. And I didn't have a podcast or anything either. So it was very unexpected. Mm-hmm. But I had been slowly getting as involved as possible in politics. So just being involved in the community, helping out with school board races, which I'm very passionate about. Turning Point. I love Turning Point. I go to all their conferences. Charlie Kirk is a hero of mine. We hosted him on campus not too long ago. So I got to meet him. And a lot of community members became aware of Missouri State University, I would say, after that event. So that might have had something to do with it. But no, I got called by the Real Talk Radio owners, Tracy and Rick Ellis. Love them to death. And they told me that they had been following my career for a couple of months, listening to some of the things I had said on radio, because I'd been on as a guest on some other shows. And they told me that they felt like I had a voice that needed to be heard, and that we need young conservative women in the movement, which I think is very true. Another thing I'm super passionate about. So they gave me the opportunity to have my show. It's called Get Right with Mateo Miller, and it airs every Sunday at Real Talk Radio. So
I love that. I love that. What was it like for you hosting Charlie Kirk at MSU as the president of the chapter at the time?
It was. I nerd out about politics, so it was a dream for me. I mean, Charlie is a hero of mine, so it absolutely made my semester. It was last October, and it was just amazing to see the amount of community support, because students here on campus don't love coming to conservative events. We had a few. I was really impressed with the turnout for students, but we had a lot of support from the community, too. And again, I think it was just more awareness that there are students here at this liberal college campus here in Springfield that do care, that are conservatives, and that are willing to make a difference if you give them a shot. And so Charlie, taking the time to come to a city that's not exactly, I would say, his target audience, since it is pretty conservative over here for the most part, but just taking the time to come out here anyway was huge for us. It really encouraged the chapter and made us feel like we got to have a part in this movement, which I think is the way to get young kids involved.
Exactly right.
You got to show them that they're important and that you think that their voices should be heard.
So would you say it's a silent majority kind of thing here?
I would for now.
Okay.
For now. I think it's in the balance. And I think that it's going to take a lot of unity to preserve that, because there's a lot of infighting, I feel like, in the Republican Party right now. We tend to kind of eat our own, which is one of the critiques I would have for conservatives in the area. But I think if we can all unify behind Republican leadership, I think we'll get a lot further. And I think it'll be a lot easier to tackle things like the Uniparty and what's going down in the Senate in Missouri right now.
You're exactly right. And I love that you mentioned that, because the Democrat Party, they are unified on everything, about everything, about everything, it seems like.
And they get students involved, too.
Yes, they do.
And at record rates. And it seems to be something Republicans really struggle with.
I know. And it's so sad to see. And the RNC is infighting. And, you know, the whole Republican Party is infighting. Meanwhile, the Democrats, probably most of them hate each other. I know for a fact that Barack Obama could not stand Hillary Clinton. But they don't talk about it.
Least not online.
Right, exactly. And the conservative movement has been terrible at that. Do you think that there's a way to change that here in the next few months before the 2024 election?
I do, and I'll tell you what I think the key is. I think it's our generation, because Gen Zers are sick of the political landscape. They're tired of the toxicity of it. They're over the fact that nobody can get on the same train. And I think it's really important to stay true to your values and to be blunt and open with what you believe. But conversations are huge. And I think that that's actually a strength that's really underestimated that Gen Zers have, that maybe some previous generations don't as much, because they haven't experienced the same thing that people our age have.
I love that.
So that's what I want to say.
I would definitely agree with you that Generation Z, you and I are Generation Z, is probably the solution to most of what is going on in the United States of America, and quite frankly, probably the whole world right now. And, you know, I know someone, I'm acquainted with him. His name is Brylan Hollyhand. He's the co-chair of the RNC Youth Advisory Council. And one of the things he said, it's time for our generation to have a seat at the table.
It is. Okay. I love that. That's one of the things that gets me so excited to do what I do, because people are starting to finally wake up, I think. Mm-hmm. I was talking about community support earlier in the Charlie Kirk event. And that's what means the most, I can tell you, as a young person and leading a chapter full of young people, is when politicians or business people or even just leaders in the community stop to say, hey, I see you.
Yes.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And it's your turn. Mm-hmm. That's what gets me super excited about this election year, because I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
You know, I've seen that in my personal life. Mm-hmm. You know, Congressman Mark Alford in my district has come alongside me and he's helped mentor me and said, so you know, cool. You're the future. And that's happened multiple times. You know, my uncle Roger Stone, General Flynn, many, many people in the conservative movement understand the fact that it is time for Generation Z to have a seat at the table. And I'm glad that you're part of that, that table.
Thanks, me too.
That you've, you know, sat down and given solutions for that. You mentioned your faith a little bit, mm-hmm. and how having a radio show was a big prayer of yours for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, how does your faith intersect with your politics? I'm assuming it would be kind of similar for how it is for me, but I want to hear your take on that, how it intersects for you.
Yeah, for me, it all goes back to the values. And people have tried to tell me different, but I still think America is a Christian nation. I don't think that's died. I think if you take God out of America, what you're left with is just not America. Mm-hmm. And I still believe that we have the potential to live up to that. I really want to see that kind of revival. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's the driving force behind anything political. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's America, which is not eternal, and the kingdom of heaven, which is. Mm-hmm. I don't think those things are mutually exclusive, which is why the church not being involved in politics is a pet peeve mm-hmm. of mine. But you do have to have priorities, and that's yeah. super important. But I loved your analogy of having a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So my faith for me is not just having a seat at the table. It's saying, if you don't give me a seat at the table, I'm going to come take a seat at the table. And I think that people underestimate Christians. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a very passionate man.
Yes.
He was loving and he was gentle, but he was passionate. I mean, the guy was flipping tables in the temple at one point to stop things like corruption, which is exactly what we need to do here. So if anything else, I would say that it's the driving force behind anything that I do politically.
And I love that. And I love how you mentioned how, you know, God is still in this nation. You know, it may not seem like it because of so much evil, corruption, and wickedness mm-hmm. that abounds from the very top corner of Washington State to the very bottom edge of Florida. But there is a remnant church that has risen up to say, I'm going to stand in the gap. And mm-hmm. in the book of Ezekiel, it says that God was looking for a man among them to stand in the gap on his behalf.
Absolutely.
But he found no one. Well, right now in the United States of America, there are many someones mm-hmm. who are standing in the gap for righteousness. You know, the book of Nehemiah talks about how Nehemiah, he was the king's cupbearer. And he was mourning for what was going on, the fact that Jerusalem, their walls had been taken down, that they had fallen down. And he goes to the king. And he says, can I go to Jerusalem, build the wall back up again? And that is exactly what we have with people such as yourself.
Thank you.
Have said, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to be one of these people to stand in the gap on God's behalf. I'm going to go and build the wall, not a physical wall, which we need that.
Right.
I'm right there with you. but we need spiritual walls as well. We also need bridges
mm-hmm.
so that we can bring people not just to a conservative movement, but to Jesus, which, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about Generation Z, which, you know, we believe is going to be driving this. But the ultimate reality is that Jesus is the only thing that can save our nation. Jesus is the only person that can save our nation. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. And you could put in that for the Republican and also for the Democrat, that Jesus is the saving grace. And it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we might be saved. Matea, thank you so much for taking time to come on my show. Where can people find you? Where can people follow you and listen to your show?
Yeah, Instagram is probably the easiest way because I do respond to DMs. I love it when people DM me about my show. So it's at Matea Miller or at Matea underscore Miller underscore. You can DM me on there. But Real Talk Radio is the way to listen to my show. They have a frequency in St. Louis, but not in Springfield. But they live stream through their app. Mm-hmm. So 93.3 Real Talk Radio. Get right with Matea Miller.
Go listen to Matea Miller. Get right with Matea Miller. Guys, thank you all so much for listening and joining my show. I ask that you please like, share, and subscribe. And also, if you go to MyPillow.com and use promo code GENZ, G-E-N-Z, it's all one word. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code GENZ. You can get a discount of up to 66% off of your order. They have some of the best deals and the best products ever. The MyPillow pillows, the MyPillow 2.0, MyPillow slippers, MyPillow towels. I have, you know, pretty much everything except for the dog bed because I don't have a dog, so I don't need to have that. But it's some of the greatest products ever. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code GENZ. You could get a discount of up to 66% off of your order. Thank you all so much for listening. God bless you all and goodbye.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0. Not only that, for a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed. You can also check us out at Stonewall's Perspective on Facebook and Instagram to keep up with the latest news. Stay anchored.